Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and what a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you would look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 10, or 2 rather, Luke chapter 2, we're going to be reading verse 41 down to verse 50 as we start a new series tonight on the teachings of Christ. The teachings of Christ, exactly what God has recorded, written down, preserved for us to understand about the teachings of God who was manifested in the flesh and came to this earth some 2,000 years ago and lived here about 33 and a half years, was crucified, buried, resurrected on the third day. The Bible says, ever living, sitting on the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. I believe that it's worthy our time to study the teachings of Christ while he walked on the earth. Luke chapter 2, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to start reading in verse 41. We'll read down to verse 50. For these are the first recorded words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he, Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances, and when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, this is his first recorded words, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and giving us this another opportunity to assemble ourselves together. Thank you for the holy word that you have preserved for us so that we might know the very mind and thoughts of the Creator God. And tonight, as we look into this passage of Scripture that records the first words of our Savior, I pray, God, that we would open up our hearts and minds to receive the message that you have for us. Empower and bless the preaching once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, these first words of the Lord Jesus Christ are only recorded in Luke's account. The first four books of the New Testament reveal the very life of Jesus Christ, what God has for us to learn about the life of Christ as he walked on the earth. And in that, each one will present things maybe a little bit different as they each one would look at the life of Christ and present things concerning his life. But Luke is the only one that God chose to record his first words. His first words. Now, we go back into that point in time, and we understand that a Jewish boy in the first century, at age 13, would become what they would say, call him a son of the law, meaning that he would be responsible at 13 to keep the law. At 13. But Jesus chose this age of 12 to be recorded his first message, the first teachings of Christ are recorded when he was, the Bible says, at age 12. How many 12-year-olds do we have in the service tonight? Raise your hand or stand so we can see. How many? Ah, there's several back there and around. Okay. Jesus was your age when he started, when he gave his first message. That's exciting. And so some have looked at this and say, what is the purpose? Why did God record the teachings of Christ at age 12? Is that possibly the age of accountability? There's a lot of different thoughts on the age of accountability. It's when a person comes to the age where they are accountable for their own choices, where they are understanding of their sin. And when they can come to that place of asking Jesus Christ to come into their heart and to save them from their sins. An age of accountability is an age where a person can get saved. Whether they do or not, it's when they can first get saved. Now, I believe it was earlier than that. I think that the age of accountability is different. I think that some people, as we understand, have mental disorders. They never reach an age of accountability. Others, if they're around the teachings of Christ and presented the truths at an earlier age, they will come to that age of accountability sooner than somebody that has never been taught the things of God. The influence of the scriptures, the influence of the church. I was saved when I was 8 years old and still remain saved for all these years. Amen. 55 years now. I've been saved. And our children raised in a pastor's home, they were saved when they were younger than that. They were saved when they was around 5 years of age and at least come to that first understanding of wanting to ask Christ into their heart. I'm often asked, preacher, can my child be saved? And I tell you, I don't know. that child's the only one that knows. Do not push them to make a profession of faith until you know that they can understand what they're doing. Okay? But once you present that to them, never keep them from going through the plan of salvation. I would rather see a child go through the plan of salvation 100 times, and on the 100th time, finally, it stick, it be understood, than for a parent to deny that child an opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord. Because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't give an age. Okay? And so some will look at this. So I don't believe it would be the age of accountability. I do believe that it's an age where a lot of people determine the direction of their lives. A 12-year-old, 13-year-old, their minds are still developing. But they can start understanding. And if you will, many can choose and have chosen in those early preteen years what direction in life they're going to go. We don't quite understand. I guess you can learn from that what you want to take from that. But it is reality that he chose this age. He was 3 days of being alone with, the Bible says, doctors. Look at verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. 3 days of being alone with doctors. Now, this would have been doctors of theology, doctors of religion, scholars, if you will. And we find that they were very much amazed. In verse 47, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Jesus, at age 12, was giving those scholars answers to their questions. Amen. Amen. So this presents a much to us. Now, Jesus was always God. There was never a time when Jesus, when he was in the womb of Mary, when he was born, when he was a baby, when he was a toddler, there was never a time when Jesus was not God. The Bible says he was God who was manifested in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. They were all amazed at his answers. And then we find the Bible reveals all this. The Bible reveals that he was a very special child and that he would have had an impact all those years of life before he actually started his public ministry. But the first that we hear from him, the first message that he teaches is addressed to Joseph and Mary, which would have been his earthly parents, okay? Joseph not being his earthly father, but Mary being his earthly mother. And he says to them in verse 49, "How is it that you sought me?" Question mark. I can see him looking at them. "Wist ye not? Wist ye not?" Or if you will, "Do you not remember? Have you so soon forgotten that I must be about my true father's business?" "Do you not remember who I am and what you were tasked with?" What you were tasked with, Joseph, you knew from the very beginning that that baby that was inside of the womb of Mary was not yours. And you accepted that as being God's child. You accepted that as being the Messiah. Mary, do you not remember who I am and what you were tasked with? And being the mother to the Messiah. Wow. And then the Bible says, and they understood not. Jesus, in his first message, called them to remembrance because they had forgotten what they should have remembered, which is something that Satan would love to do to each and every one of us. We'll not go there for sake of time, but 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4, the Bible reveals that Satan can blind the minds of humanity if we'll let him. He can blind us to the things that God would have us to understand. He would blind us to the things that God would have us to remember. Because in remembering those things and remembering who Jesus is and what we are tasked with makes a difference in how we live our lives. 12 years earlier, Luke in chapter 1, verse 28. We don't know. Evidently, there was not much of communication between angels or God the Father to Mary after the conception, after the angel met with her and told her what was taking place. The Bible says in Luke in chapter 1 and verse 28, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. God has chosen you. You are blessed for what you're getting ready to be tasked with. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." What an event. We're getting ready, coming up on December the 25th is the day that we set aside a day to acknowledge the birth of Jesus Christ. And we find here that's what the angel of the Lord came and he revealed to Mary. And Mary would carry this infant child for 9 months. She would give birth to this infant child. And the whole time that she was carrying him, the whole time when she was giving birth, she knew this was the Messiah. This would be the only begotten Son of God. 12 years later, she has forgotten. Twelve years later, she had allowed herself to be blinded to who Jesus was and what she was tasked to do. His first message, "Wished you not?" Go back 12 years ago. How could you allow yourself to forget such an experience, such a task? 12 years earlier, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Joseph, engaged to Mary, finds that she is with child and was going to put her away privately. In verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Told them what to name this child. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, it was all prophesied in Old Testament scriptures. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What an amazing event in the life of Joseph. And he wist not. 12 years had passed. We don't have the account of everything that took place. We understand several things that took place in the infancy of Christ when he was, Herod tried to have him killed and murdered and all the things. They had to go into Egypt and then they come back. We know, understand some of those things. But 12 years later, wished you not? The first message, Jesus called them to remembrance because they should have remembered. They should have remembered who Jesus was and what they were tasked with. Can I tell you, sinful nature and Satan's influence can cause us to forget what God would have us all to remember. I believe that was the message that he had to Joseph and Mary, but it's also his message to Christianity today. It's been 2,000 years, but we've had his word that he promised that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. He's promised to give us a reminder through his word. He's promised to give us a reminder through the church that he established, that he said that he would build his church. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. For some 2,000 years, we've had that which he has established as a reminder of the truths that he wants us to remember. We have his word, the Bible, and we have the church of Jesus Christ, that which he established with his doctrine. And yet, wish ye not? Have we forgotten some things that we need to remember? I believe there's three most important things that I believe we need to listen to Jesus saying, wish you not, because you ought to remember this. The first is when you got saved. Amen. 55 years ago, I remember getting saved, calling upon the name of the Lord as if it was yesterday. That impacted my life. As an 8-year-old boy, as much as anything could have impacted my life, it impacted my life when I realized that I was lost and on my way to a devil's hell and was given the truths of the Word of God and understood that Jesus came to pay my sin debt. And he offered me a gift of everlasting life if I would just receive it as a gift. And that day I became a Christian. And my life should have been dedicated to being a Christian, because Christ lived within me. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. As Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he wanted them to remember what they should never forget. Chapter 4 and verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, wist ye not, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. As a born-again believer, we ought to know that God's will for our lives is to separate ourselves. Should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification. Our vessel is our bodies. Our vessel is our life. Sanctification is to be set apart for God's purpose. To be set apart for God's purpose. When you get saved, you have been saved to represent Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is all about. Being a Christian is someone who's supposed to be Christ-like. How often do we forget that which God would have us remember? That we are here to represent Christ. Wow. But not only sanctification, but honor. Respect your body as a temple of God. Respect your body means that you will not allow anyone else to disrespect your body. And if you're saved, your body becomes a temple of God because it houses the Holy Spirit of God. In verse 7, he went on to say, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Wish ye not, Christian. Wish ye not. We should remember. But have we chosen to forget? Because we really can't forget. It's in our memory banks, but we can choose to block it out. You even have the Holy Spirit of God. If you're truly saved, He's within inside of you. He's going to bring up conviction. And He's going to, on a regular basis, He's going to try to remind you who you are in Christ. When you're living in the world and doing, going about your daily opportunities and going about your daily business and work and whatever it might be, the Holy Spirit of God is going to constantly remind us, if we allow Him to remind us, that we are Christians and we are here to represent Christ. But too often we choose not to remember. And we choose to yield to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And Jesus is there saying, "Wished you not?" He's looking at you. And He said, "Don't you remember? Don't you remember when you realize that I paid your sin debt on Calvary's cross and you asked me to be your Savior and I come into your heart and saved your soul? Don't you remember?" If we're not around things that remember us, it's easier to block out what God would have you to remember. The two things that Jesus established that's been a part of our society for some 2,000 years, the New Testament scriptures for New Testament Christianity, they'll always be a part of our society. God has promised that they would be available to us. And if you're not reading this Bible, if you're not hearing this Bible taught, if you're not hearing this Bible preached, you would be more apt to forget what you should remember as a Christian. If we're not a member of His church, if we're not coming to church and allowing ourselves to be influenced by godly music and godly messages and the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God, if we're not taking advantage of the opportunities we have to be influenced by the truths of God's Word, we're more apt to choose not to remember. And Jesus, His first message, "Wished you not?" "Wished you not who I am and what I've tasked you to do?" Remember that we're Christian. I believe another thing that is very important for us to remember, because the church is only as strong as its families. Remember your place in your family and what God has tasked you to do in the position that you hold in the family. God gives us requirements for husbands and fathers. Do you know what they are? Do you understand that what you're going to be held accountable for as a husband and a father? That means you have a wife and you have children. I think that we in society today need to be reminded that I am a husband. I have a wife. That'll keep you from doing things that the world would have you to do and what the flesh would have you to do, what the devil would have you to do. And you will be reminded of what God has tasked you with as a husband to your wife and a father to your children. But wish you not that, have you forgotten who Jesus is? Meaning, what kind of a Christian man you ought to be and a Christian husband and a Christian father. Wish you not? Wish you not, women? Are we so influenced by what's going on in society today and the philosophies of the world today that we have forgotten what the Bible says about a godly wife and a godly mother, the importance you have in your home to your husband, to your children? What God has tasked you with is so much more important than what the world is trying to drag you into. Wish you not? Wish you not what Jesus Christ enables you to be in that Christian wife? Maybe you need to remind yourself more often that you have a husband that needs you, that you have children who need you. Wish you not who Jesus is, what he's tasked us to do. And lastly, remember your place in his church. Wish you not the importance of the church? You see, God has placed you, when you got saved, God has placed you where he wants you to be. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. When you got saved, God started working to get you in a church. He might be working right now to get you in the church that he wants to plant you in. Because once you get saved, then you need to be baptized. In order to be baptized, you got to find a church. If you're going to receive biblical baptism, you have to, first of all, know that you're a proper candidate, know that you have been saved, and then you have to make sure that you find a church that has the doctrines of Christ, because Jesus gave the authority to baptize to his church. His church has his doctrine. And when you come to that church and you're baptized in that church, you become a member of that church. And as you become a member, God has placed you there. And it's an important position that God has tasked you with to be a part of the local New Testament church. Because the church is empowered by God, and it will continue throughout the remainder of this church age. What society needs today is the influence of his church, which stands on the doctrines of his word. The true church stands on the doctrines of his word. 1 Timothy, as we close here tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Wish ye not the importance of the church? Have you forgotten that Jesus established it? He says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He has magnified the importance of it throughout this church age. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Satan is blinding so many people to the importance of the church today, and we can't let it happen to us. Jesus understood the importance of Mary and Joseph realizing who he was and what God had tasked them to do. And when they forgot, he said, wish you not. And the very same truth applied to us today. God wants us to remember who he is, who Jesus Christ is, and what he has tasked us to do for him. The question is, wish you not? Have you forgotten what God wants you to remember? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. That's the teachings of Christ. At age 12, his first message, and it's been recorded for us to receive it. Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence in this place, for the blessings we've received in being in service tonight. but also for the challenge that we receive from your first message to humanity. Help us, God, not to forget, but to remember who you are and what you've tasked us to do. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.